You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
Last week we began our series on the Christian faith. And there's no other faith that is being practiced out there in this world today that can compare with the Christian faith, with the fundamentals of what we believe as Christians. Amen. There's no founder of any religious faith or religion in the world that has ever done for its followers what our Lord has done for us. None. And none of them have the word of life as he has for us. So we're looking at the Christian faith, and this is part two. We talked last week about the fact that the Christian faith is a saving faith, and that not only has God saved us from our past sins, but he has also given us the equipment. Remember, we talked about the equipment, and I used the analogy of the gym. You don't get muscles unless you use the equipment. Amen? And the same thing is with us. God has given to us the equipment and everything that we need to succeed in life and to be overcomers in this world. Everything you need for that, he has provided for you. Amen. In other words, he has empowered us. Therefore, the Christian faith is an empowering faith. A faith that empowers us to fulfill our God-given potential. Isn't that what you want to do as a Christian, as a believer? To fulfill your God-given potential. Amen. Well, he empowers us. He gives to us the power to be able to do this. What kind of power are we talking about here? Power to just go around doing anything that we want to do? Power to speak into existence anything that comes to our minds or out of our mouths? The church for so long has been a doubting church, and at the turn of the last century, faith began to rise up in the church again, and people began to take the word of God and begin to believe what it said. And boy, the church needed that. Amen? But then we know that people will always take a good teaching and go to the far extremes of it, and we know that we've experienced that as well, where people have taken good scriptures that talk about faith and power and believing God, and they've gone to an extreme. In other words, they've gone over the top. They've gone beyond where they should have gone with that. And they came to a place of just saying, whatever you say out of your mouth will come to pass. Whatever you say, you can have. And that's extreme. Can you imagine what kind of world that we would have if people could just speak into existence whatever they wanted? It would be mass confusion. Because you have someone over here who would speak this thing into existence, and another person who flat out right opposes that and would try to speak something else into existence. And what we would have is just mass confusion all over the place, and that's not God. God is a God of order. Look at the stars. Look at the universe. Look at everything that we see about what God has made. He is a God of order. Amen. And so we have not been given power to do our will. That's not why he gave us his power. That's not why the church is empowered. And Christianity is an empowering faith. God empowers the Christian to do his will, not yours, his will, that we might follow after the life pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And he was saying that at a time when he was facing this suffering that we just talked about at the communion table. Is there any way to get around this? Is there any other path? Is there any other way? And he says, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. I want to look at a few verses that talk about power, and these are all just from the Psalms. There's plenty of verses that talk about the power of God from Genesis to Revelation. But just let's look at a couple of Psalms, and then we'll look at what the New Testament tells us about this empowering faith that we are a part of as Christians. And these are all just in order, so you can flip through them in your Bible as we go along. Psalm 62, verse 11. It says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 68, verse 35. O God, thou art terrible. And that means awesome. Thou art awesome. Thou art to be revered. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And then when the Israelites, when the Israelites provoked God to anger at the Red Sea, the psalmist in Psalm 106, verse 8, reminds us what happened at that point. It says, nevertheless, they angered the Lord. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Ah. Psalm 145, verse 11. They shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. Amen. And then in the New Testament, we know that the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray. They watched his life, and daily he would rise up and he would be alone in a secluded place praying unto the Father. Or he would be up all night in prayer praying unto the Father. And the disciples saw this and watched this example right before their eyes, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Show us how to pray like that. Teach us what to say before the Father. And we know that he gave these instructions, which are often referred to as the Lord's Prayer or as the Our Father Prayer or as the Disciple Prayer. Call it what you want. But this is what he instructed them, and he just gave to them simply an outline to think about while they're praying. He didn't give them words to quote and to just rattle off like sometimes we've been taught in the past. I've got cousins that have no idea what that prayer means that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 6. They don't have a clue. But I'll tell you what, they can rattle that prayer off faster than you can shake a stick. They can say it a whole lot faster than me, a Pentecostal who speaks in tongues. And so what did that mean? I don't know. But he says in that prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. So everything about the power that God gives us is for his kingdom and his glory and his purposes in the earth. We may be benefactors of his kingdom and of his power and of his glory. I'm glad that I am. I'm glad that you are. We are certainly benefactors of that, but only as it pertains to his purposes in the earth. That's it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The apostle John there received this revelation from the Lord, and these are words that are recorded there that are very powerful, very, very powerful words. If you're a new Christian, take this verse of scripture and start remembering it. and recalling it. If you've been saved for any length of time, go back and rehearse it and remember it and read it often. This verse, this one verse is powerful. Thou art worthy. And what he's saying is only you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For his pleasure, for his good purposes. Oh, church, if we could just get a hold of this one verse of Scripture and live our lives, listen, live our lives like we really believe what we just read, how different things would be inside and outside of the church. Don't take offense to that. Think about it. If we lived every moment of our life, if we lived every day of our life, just according to that one passage of Scripture right there, how different things would be. How it would affect our individual lives, our words, our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes. Did I say attitudes? How it would affect the church as a whole. What we could accomplish in the earth if the Christian believers really believed that in such a way that we were practicing that every day. The people of this world, it would affect them as well. They would see such glory resting upon us that they couldn't stand to not have it upon themselves. Wow, think of that. That the unbelievers would see Christ in you so much that they would just be drawn to you and they would say, I want what you have. Are they knocking your heart down, knocking down your door today with that thought? Wouldn't it be a glorious thing if we were just really honest with this verse of Scripture? That it's not about me, Lord. It's not about what I get. It's not about what I want. It's not about my comfort. It is all about your glory in the earth. If only our lives were reflective of the prayers we pray. Now, I know I'm kind of coming at this from a negative connotation right now, but you just stick with me. God has empowered his church. And I want us to get that before we leave here today. If only our lives were reflective of our prayers that we pray. If they were reflective of the songs that we sing in the churches across the land. Amen? Wow. So, Pastor Mike, you're giving the unbelievers of this world ammunition right now because they're saying that that through what you're saying right here, the church is just hypocritical. We really don't believe these things. We really don't believe the Scriptures. We don't really believe the songs that we sing. No, I'm saying that we strive toward those things. I'm saying that we do desire those things. But I also am smart enough and I'm also honest enough to look around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize in my heart that there are many people who name the name of Christ who are singing those songs who have no idea what it means in their life. And if that be the case, we would have to change some of the lyrics that we sing, and at least the titles of the songs. Here's just a few. I surrender all would have to be changed to I surrender some. It's all about you would have to be changed to it's all about me. How great is our God would have to become how mediocre is our God. See, people sit on church pews week after week and they have this mediocre God. This God who, if the guy next door to me gets saved, okay, and if he doesn't, okay. And God's power becomes just mediocre. There's a song titled, God of All My Days, that would have to be changed to God of Some of My Days. More than anything would have to be more than most things. Lord, I need you. These are songs we sing in the church. Lord, I need you. It would have to be changed in many people's hearts and minds as, Lord, I need more stuff. Christ alone would have to be Christ among many. Your grace is enough. To your grace is insufficient. I love you, Lord, would have to be changed to, I like you a lot, Lord. Come on, church. You know that I'm speaking the truth right now. And that's not what God expects of us. That's not what he wants from us. He wants the very best for each and every one of us. But it's all in line of his kingdom and his purposes. It's not just so that you can be happy. It's not just so that you can have goosebumps. Amen? Oh, church, God has certainly empowered us, but he has done it for his purposes. And we need to believe that, and we need to practice it in that way. Amen. God has empowered his church, and he wants to empower it even more. He wants to empower it even more. Or more accurately, really, he wants to show us how to release what he has already given us. That's what we talked about last week. He has already given us great and precious promises that by these we may become partakers of the divine nature of God. Hallelujah. Already. You got it in you. If you're a Christian this morning, you got it in you. He has empowered his church. He has given his holy presence into your life and into my life. It's not just when we come into this building that he shows up. I love his manifest power. I love the manifestation of his Holy Spirit. I love when we do come together and all of a sudden the lights go on inside of each and every one of us, and we feel his presence. We sense that he is really here in a powerful way. I love that, but it's not just about that. His presence was with you when you walked through the door. And he's looking to release his power in you and me. Let's look at a couple of passages of scripture written by our dear brother Luke. Amen. And these are the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples before he ascended into glory. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. That means wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Go and wait in Jerusalem. Stay there until you be endued. The word endued means to be clothed upon or to be clothed with power from the Holy Spirit. This is the inauguration of the church. This is the very beginning of the church going forward in history. And when we read the book of Acts, we're reading a historical account, the beginnings of the historical account of the church. This is what went on in the early days. This is what went on in the first days of the church. Acts chapter 1, he writes the same account, but he gives a little fuller detail there, and he uses words just a little bit differently, but it's the same author, it's Luke. He's still bringing forth what was done there. He says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence, or not many days from right now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. This power that he said they would receive was the Holy Spirit. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, we know that they went into Jerusalem, and 120 people, not just the 12, 120 people went into that room, and they waited until the Holy Ghost came and endued them with power, infilled them with power, came over them with power. Amen. Power, and then he says what it is for. Power to be his witnesses. Power to tell the world about Jesus. Power to show forth his glory. Power that people would stand in wonder of the wonders of God. Amen. This power is all about what God can do for you, with you, in you, and through you in the things pertaining to this life and to godliness and to the things of his kingdom. That's why he has empowered us. Not to go out and just do your own thing. Not just to float through life and say, hey, I'm going this way and I'm going that way and God's given me the power to do whatever I want. No, 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 he has not. He has given you the power to do what he wants. And he'll put nothing before you. He'll call you to nothing. He will give you assignments. He'll give you no assignment that you cannot do through his power and his might. He will not tell you to stay away from this sin when he does not give you the power to do it. It becomes a matter of our will, church. Do I will to follow the Lord to that degree? Is my heart singing, I surrender all? Or is my heart singing, I will surrender to you only up until this point, but the rest is mine, Lord. The rest belongs to me. It's even when we tithe. We just went through the giving of our tithes unto the Lord. We give 10%. I believe that that's the very first place that a believer ought to start. But we can't say, Lord, I bring to you the tenth, and the other 90% is all mine. It doesn't work that way. All of the silver is his. All of the gold is his. Everything that we have really belongs to him. Everything that we ever shall have is his. And we're just stewards of what God has allowed to come our way. It all belongs to him. Now, we don't act like it all belongs to him. From time to time, the Lord may speak to us, and we, we like to remind them, hey, no, you're getting into my 90% here, Lord. Oh, I know you don't say that with words. Come on, church. None of us are going to be that forthright in saying to God, oh, no, you can't have this. But what comes to our mind is, oh, I would like to do that, but really I can't because I'm going out to lunch after church. And I need some money to pay for my lunch. So you can't have that, Lord. Amen? Those would be the ways that we would do this very thing that I'm talking about. We certainly wouldn't say, hey, that belongs to me and you're not going to. We don't act like that before God. If we got any sense, we certainly wouldn't do that. Amen? But God wants to show the world how good he is by allowing them to see his goodness in you. That's why he empowers the church. That's why his power is in you now as a Christian, so that other people can be drawn unto you? No, unto him. That they would see his light shining through you. That they would see his reflection in you. Hallelujah. That's what we want. That's what we're after as Christians. That's what we should be desiring as Christians. But many times, we just want our own desires. We just want what we want. The Israelites represented God in the Old Testament as his chosen people. They're still his chosen people. God has done many, many miraculous things through them as a nation. And we know that they held the messianic promise that the seed of the Messiah was going to come through their line. Amen. So they were a messianic nation in that respect, but they were also a messianic nation in showing forth the glory of God upon a people that he called his own. Sounds like the church today, doesn't it? That he calls us his own and he puts his glory in us so that the nations around us or the unbelievers around us can see his goodness and desire that, be drawn to that. Just like a magnet. When you go through difficult times in your life at work and people know that you just lost a loved one, people know that you just went through something very difficult in your life, people know that maybe even your husband or your wife, your spouse, has left you for someone else, and they see your life and they see the stability of your life and they see you continuing to give praise and honor and glory to your God. Why? Because you are a part of his kingdom. And you are in his hand. And whatever else comes forth from this time forward, it's in his hand. He will strengthen me. He will guide me. He will hold me in his hand. People are drawn to that, church. People are drawn to that kind of strength because it's in nobody else in the world. Those kinds of things can cause a person's complete life to just fall apart right then and there. But you and I as a believer, we have a strength and we have a power living and abiding in us. And it is the presence of the living God himself. This is not just kind of some kind of a spirit loosey-goosey thing floating out in the atmosphere. The force. Brother Gene said somebody in his family had passed away and they went down to the funeral and they were really into this, Star Wars stuff. Really into, I mean, man, these people were really into it. They got married in gothic clothing and situations. I mean, they are into this stuff. And so the guy who passed away, they laid a sword, Luke Skywalker or whatever, one of these things, in the casket, you know, and they spoke about the Force. The Force being with him. Church, I'm not talking about some loosey-goosey force out here. We're talking about Almighty God, the powerful Almighty God, high and lifted up, exalted above everything that is. He made all of this, it says there in Revelation. He made all of this for his glory and for his name and for his good pleasure. No, we're not talking about just some spirit jumping up onto our life. We're talking about the living God. coming inside of you and living in you. Right there, somebody ought to say, "Whoa!" Yeah. Yeah. God Almighty living in you. The God who always was and always will be. I was thinking about that again. I think it was this morning or late last night. How awesome that is, and how we cannot wrap our minds around the fact that this almighty, all-wise, all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God always was. Come on. Let's be real. Let's be honest here. You can't get your finite little brain around all of that. And men being who they are and what they are and the pride of our lives and the pride of our minds, because we just cannot fathom something like that, we got to come up with something different. So there's all kinds of variations from that point. There's only two alternatives. One, either this God always was and always shall be. He's eternal God. Or you have to go to one of the myriad of other things that men grab for to try to explain how you got here and how I got here, and through science, so-called. They're willing to believe. You see, they cannot believe. They cannot come to terms with this powerful, awesome being being there forever in eternity past. So our explanation is two little non-living particles happen to bump into each other and become a living cell. And everything evolved to where we are today. If that were true, I think Jesus would say to somebody like that, "Oh, great faith. I've never seen such great faith before." Because wouldn't it really be a stretch of great faith to believe something like that? As opposed to the fact that a great and a mighty God, and when we look around, everything that we see has purpose and design to it. That some very intelligent being must have called all of this into order. Now, those are the choices, folks. Eternal God always was. In our word, the Bible starts with a presupposition that is the fact. In the beginning, God. It's either that or one of the other theories. And they're both accepted by faith. They're both accepted by believing. But they would call ours a blind leap of faith. I would call theirs a blind leap of faith, because there is no proof and there is no evidence for what they're saying. Not one little mutation is there to prove that ever happened. But we look all around us and see the handiwork of God. We see that in his word he has declared so many things that men could not know, because they didn't have the intelligence, they didn't have the technology, they didn't have what we have today. Yet these words are recorded hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that men could not have possibly known until science now proves it out. Those words are spoken in our Bible. Now, I know I got a little bit off track. You're saying, where in the world is this going with all of this empowering? That's the God who lives in you. That is the God who is alive inside of you right now. Woo! I got two of those in me today. Woo! those disciples, he says, you go into Jerusalem. I'm getting ready for the kickoff of my church. I know everybody's waiting for a kickoff. I don't know, is it today or tomorrow or when? Today's the big day, right? I don't know, some big event. They're waiting. They're anticipating the kickoff. The disciples were told to go into Jerusalem and wait there with anticipation for the big kickoff. Don't come out of that room until the power that I've promised you comes upon you. Ooh, hallelujah. And he did what he said, and they stepped out from that room. Old Peter, like I said last week, the guy who stuck his foot in his mouth so many times, came out and stood on that porch and preached under the power of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 were added to the church in that one message. I was just listening on the 700 Club this week to Reinhard Bonnke's little snippet that Pat Robertson had, a little interview with him. Reinhard Bonnke, a German Pentecostal preacher, an evangelist. God put a promise in his heart that he would save Africa. He followed that promise. He followed that prompting. And Pat asked him, how did that all start? And he says, I went and we rented a place to hold our first meeting. And he said, about 100 people showed up. And he said, and God began to do things, and little by little it grew. And if you ever seen pictures of a Reinhard Bonnke crusade in Africa, it is a sea of people. And he has recorded with people filling out salvation cards, 77 million people saved through his ministry. Pat Robertson said, what is the secret? What is the secret to that? If you've ever heard Reinhard Bonnke, he said something like this. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. He said the first time that God spoke to me and said he was going to open the blinded eyes, he said, say these words to the people. All of you who are blind, come forward. God is going to heal blind eyes. He said, as I was saying that, the devil was saying, what if he doesn't? But he was obedient to the voice that spoke within him. And the voice that was in him was this God that I was just trying to paint a picture, and I failed so miserably, really. Who can say how awesome and powerful this God is? But those people came forward, and hundreds of them, their blinded eyes were opened right then and there. I also was on the internet in the last couple of months, and I sometimes click to these people who call themselves apologists and people who criticize other ministries and other things. And this was a non-Pentecostal guy tearing up Pentecostals. And I could only stomach just so many minutes of that, and I had to turn it off because the man knew nothing of what he was saying. And he said, there are no miracles today. I mean, this guy is just bold and brash and arrogant. He said, there are no miracles today. When the apostles died, that was the end of it. I mean, man, and he is preaching that. He said, show me one bona fide miracle. And I thought, how blind you are. You need your blinded eyes open. And of those hundreds of people, blinded eyes that were open, Maybe there's no documentation. Maybe there's no doctor's records. Maybe they hardly don't even have a birth record over there. But man, a person could say, I once was blind, but now I see. That's a bona fide miracle. And people stretch themselves and go so far out of the way to try to disbelieve God's word. We as Christians ought to be striving to believe it more fully. To believe it more fully. Believe it for me. Man, that could have been me over there in Africa. Well, maybe not. But he just started out by listening to what the Lord said to him. Don't laugh at me.
I'm laughing.
It could be you. It could be you. Drew, that could be you. Why not? This almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God lives inside of Drew. Come on, Ronnie. Well, this is for the next guy over. No. This is for you. Who knows that if you open your mouth, some person with cancer could not be healed? Well, you know, we prayed for so many other people and they didn't get healed. Really? We pray for all kinds of people's salvation and they don't all get saved, do they? So what are you going to do? Stop praying for salvations? Not for a minute. Not for a minute. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing God's word. We're going to keep on trusting him. The rest is up to him. He'll take care of all of that. Amen. Today, when we leave this place, I would hope that we're all stirred up in such a way that we would just think about this mighty God who lives inside of us. It's not just about going to church. It's about reaching the world. It's not just about singing nice, cute little songs. It's about surrendering our hearts and our lives to him in such a way that if he calls upon us to do something that's a little bit uncomfortable to us, we will answer the call. We will respond to his voice. Those Israelites represented God to all of the nations around them. He used them to show other nations his power and his glory so that other nations would come and be drawn to him. You know that the Hebrew people actually made converts of people along the way? Yeah, they actually, people they call it proselyting, but they would come and they would talk to people who worshiped heathen gods and false gods, and they would show them their God, and they would bring those people into a relationship with God. He used Moses to show Pharaoh and the people of Israel his mighty power. He used Elijah to show King Ahab and his 400 false prophets his mighty power. Not Elijah's great faith, but God's mighty power. He used Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to show King Nebuchadnezzar his mighty power. And under the new covenant, he uses his church to show his almighty, and I might add, resurrection power.
Hallelujah.
That he raised his son from the dead. Jesus said, he that dies believing in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're going to rise as well. And that resurrection power is living inside of you right now. Amen. You and I have already been given power. And God wants us to release that power into the earth. He wants to do that through us. I could have pointed my finger in every person's face here, not just Drew. I wasn't just picking on you, Drew. But boy, would I like to see you win Africa or something like that. You know what would happen? My pride would probably rise up and say, hey, he got saved in our church. You know? But wouldn't you love to see that happen? Think about what God might still be wanting to do in you. I don't care where you are in your walk with God right now. I'm thinking it through. I'm saying, Lord, I'm 67 years old now. He said, Moses was 80. It's too late, Lord. He says, you're still breathing. I'm not equipped. I don't know how. Blah, 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 blah. All of my excuses. He says, I am more than sufficient for everything that you have need of. Let's all stand. And I want you to, if you in your heart would say, I would like to be mightily used of God. I don't know where that might be for you. I don't know where that might lead you. I don't know what that might mean for you. But if you have a desire to be mightily used of God, I'm going to ask you to come forward today, because I'm going to pray for everybody in the place today. I want to pray for all of us today.